This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
One of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Michelle's Pharmacy of Carlinville and Gillespie, by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, and by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value.
Hi, this is Lester Hamlin, your Montgomery Farm Bureau Director from Montgomery County, Audubon Township. Save 10% at Granger by being a member of Montgomery County Farm Bureau. Granger provides free shipping on orders taken over the internet. Join Montgomery County Farm Bureau today to start receiving your 10% saving from Granger. Brought to you by Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means saving.
If you're looking for commitment, flexibility, competitive interest rates, and on-the-farm service, then try Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 95 years, generations of farmers have been turning to Farm Credit for all their farm financing and crop insurance needs. As a farmer-owned and directed cooperative, Farm Credit is there to meet the needs of today's farm families. Whether it's a farm real estate loan, operating line of credit, machinery refinance, or one of our many crop insurance options, Farm Credit has the products farmers want with the service you deserve. Products and services delivered by professionals who know agriculture. It's our only business. Farm Credit brings a higher level of experience and expertise to farm lending, providing better financial solutions for your farm business. Call Farm Credit Services of Illinois today at 800-444-FARM. Remember, 800-444-FARM. Whether we're in the field with you or in the office for you, farming is our life too.
Prepare yourself for the flu season. Michelle's Pharmacy is now giving vaccines, and the best part, no appointment or prescription is needed. If you or a loved one are on Medicare, vaccines will be billed at no cost to you. Michelle's Pharmacy offers influenza, pneumonia, Zostavax, and Tdap vaccinations. Protect yourself today. Get all your vaccinations at Michelle's Pharmacy in Carlinville and Gillespie. Call 854-4022 or 839-9901. Michelle's Pharmacy, where delivery to your home or office is always free.
First of all, on the Farm Show on this Tuesday, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, December wheat trading at 864 and a quarter, that's up 6.5. March wheat trading at 879, up 6.5. December corn trading at 725 and a quarter, up 7.25. March corn trading at 729 and a half, up 7.25. November soybeans trading at 1423, up 12. January beans trading at 14.15, and that's up a dime. The overnight crude oil market was 63 cents lower at 84.94. The Brent crude, $1.04 lower at 108.03. The December gold contract, $4.10 lower at $1,726.80. The U.S. dollar index, 0.135 higher at 81.170. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, December wheat ended at 857 and three quarter. That was down 28 and three quarter. March wheat ended at 872 and a half, down 29. May wheat ended at 879 and a quarter, down 28 and three quarter. December corn yesterday ended at 718, down 20 and three quarter. March corn ended at 722 and a quarter, down 19 and three quarter. May corn ended at 719 and a half, down 19 and a quarter. November soybeans yesterday ended at 1411, down 41. January beans ended at 1405 rather. That's down 46 and a quarter. March beans ended at 1388, down 48 and a half. December soybean meal yesterday ended at 431.40, down 183. January meal, 426.70, down 187. March meal ended at 416.90, down 196. December soybean oil yesterday, 47.39, down 38. January oil, 47.76, down 40. March oil ended at 48.22, down 40. December oats yesterday ended at 359 and a quarter, down 4 and a quarter. March oats ended at 368, down 4. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois Country Grain Prices ended sharply lower on Monday afternoon. The higher soybean production forecast in Friday's USDA report continued to weigh on soybean values. Technical selling at the border trade also helped to push prices lower. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 18 to 24 cents lower at 6.96 to 7.12, while soybean bids were mostly 40 to 47 lower at 13.77 to 13.98. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted those shell corn bids 19 to 20 cents weaker at 7.09 to 7.25, while soybean bids dropped 46 cents at 13.85 to 14.06. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were down 18 to 24 cents at 6.99 to 7.32. Soybeans fell by 40 to 46 cents at 13.85 to 14.14. And the wheat price is down 26 at 8.28 to 8.58. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were down 43 to 45 cents at 14.20 to 14.23, with basis 1 to 3 cents stronger at 15 to 18 over January. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis dropped $16.30 to $18.30 per ton to range from $4.49.40 to $4.56.40. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids down 21 cents, range from 7.18 to 7.28, with basis steady at option to 10 over December. And the dried distiller grains on Monday range from 2.58 to 2.65 per ton. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids 11 to 18 lower at 7.14 to 7.23, with basis up 3 to 10 cents at 4 under to 5 over December. Soybean bids were 43 to 47 cents lower at 14.10 to 14.20. With basis ending mixed, ranging from 5 to 15 over January. Wheat bids for July 13 delivery down 28 cents at 8.28 to 8.30, with the basis steady at 32 to 30 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids mostly 26 cents lower at 6.88 to 7.15. These same elevators lowered their soybean prices by 48 cents with quotations at 14.19 to 14.20. Soft red winter wheat down 29 at 8.46 to 8.47, while the Milo dropped 20 cents at 6.78 to 6.79. Contract bids to producers for January delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. From country elevators to producers, January bids in northern and western Illinois range from 7.01 up to 7.36. Soybean bids 13.79 to 14.09. In central Illinois, corn bids range from 7.14 to 7.35. January soybean bids 13.93 to 14.08. And in the southern part of the state, corn at 7.07 to 7.44. January soybean bids at 14.01 to 14.14, and the wheat bids for July 13 delivery in southern Illinois, those range from 8.04 up to 8.31. That is our country grain report for Monday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, December hogs ended at 80.32, down 42. February hogs ended at 86.27, down a nickel. April hogs ended at 90.95, down a nickel. December cattle yesterday, 125.35, down 40. February cattle, 129.35, unchanged. April cattle, 133.15, down 12. November feeder cattle yesterday, $144, down 20. January feeders, 145.95, up 35. March feeders, 148.32, up 32. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
This is the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Market News Service with a closing livestock report. The Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hull Report has barrels and gilts on a carcass basis $4.95 lower, with a base price range of $69 to $76.35 and a weighted average of $75.45. The Illinois Direct Barrel and Gilt Market was steady today at $53 to $55. Receipts in Illinois, $11,244 ahead. The Illinois Direct Slaughter sows traded $2 to $4 higher. Sows under 400 pounds, 53 to 55. 4 to 500 pounds, 53 to 58. Over 500 pounds, 57 to $65. Today's estimated sow receipts, 725 head. The USDA National Carlot Pork Report has trading slow with mostly light demand and light to moderate offerings. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 90 cents lower at 85.73. The estimated daily hog slaughter under federal inspection on Monday was 399,000. That's way down from a week ago of 434,000 and a year ago of 433,000. The estimated daily cattle slaughter under federal inspection on Monday, 113,000. A week ago, 118,000. A year ago, 123,000. The USDA estimated box beef cutout values were higher on choice and steady on select. On light to moderate demand and light offerings, choice carcasses were $1.43 higher at $193.30, while select was only $15 higher at $173.71. We had 111 fab loads a day and 47 trim loads. The choice to select spread is at $19.59. And at the Illinois cattle auctions that we covered last week, receipts totaled 5,192 head. Choice slaughter steers traded steady at 120 to 127.50. Choice Holstein slaughter steers steady to a dollar lower at 111 to 118. Choice slaughter heifers 50 cents to a dollar lower at 119 to 126.75. This is Kent McFarland reporting for the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday for butter, $1.89 unchanged. For block cheese, $1.85 3/4, down 6 1/4. For barrel cheese, $1.83 1/4, down 1/4. And the spot price for Class 3 milk yesterday ended up at $20.80. And here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for November, $7.08. For January, $7.13. Corn delivered to Scottville for November, $7.08. For January, $7.13. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for November, $14.08. For January, $14.12. And wheat delivered to Scottville for November, $8.17. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices, once again, corn at Greenfield, $7.08. Corn at Scottville, $7.08. Beans at Greenfield or Scottville, $14.08. Wheat at Scottville, $8.17. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Tuesday morning. It's 20 minutes after the hour of 6. Color radar shows no precipitation in our mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company and by Carlinville Truck Equipment.
Carlinville Truck Equipment is the one name you need to know for truck and trailer repair. Plus, they have a large supply of steel and aluminum toolboxes for your truck at competitive prices. For help with your farm beds, hoist, tag, or pusher axles, lift gates, or any other truck-related equipment, see Carlinville Truck Equipment. You can count on Norm Craze and his staff for fast, dependable service. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 1900 North University, Carlinville. Call 854-6706.
We know that every minute M&M Service Company can save you on the farm means more time to spend with your kids. That's why M&M Service is your one-stop source for farming, information technology, value-enhanced grain programs, diesel fuel, propane, grain handling systems, and so much more. At M&M Service, they are dedicated to making your time in the fields more productive, more profitable, and more efficient. Because they're a family operation too, they understand how important it is to spend more time with your kids. For more information, visit their website, mnmservice.com. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Sunny skies today, high temperatures in the mid-40s with light and variable winds. Tonight, partly cloudy, low temperatures in the upper 20s. And for tomorrow, Wednesday, sunny skies, the high in the upper 40s. Your extended forecast for Thursday through Saturday, clear to partly cloudy skies, low temperatures in the low 30s, highs in the low 50s. Right now at the Weather Center, light west winds, the barometric pressure steady, clear skies, 25 degrees. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is yours next.
Casey's presents Famous People on Famous Pizza.
I'm Janet Hughes, the first and only female demolition derby driver in Harrison County. Before I put the hammer down, I like to fuel up with Casey's homemade to-go pizza. With fresh meats and vegetables all on made-from-scratch dough, it's definitely worth the ride.
Casey's, famous for pizza. Order one today and see what everybody's talking about. Right now, get any large specialty pizza for just $13.99. Not valid with any other offer.
6:23, part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by EnviroFoam of America and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn. During November, the Illinois Pork Producers Association will hold a series of roundtable meetings to provide producers with an update on activities at the state and national levels. One meeting will be held Thursday evening at 6 at the Grand Magnuson Hotel, sponsored by Jersey County Grain. We talked to Derek Dunkirk of the Illinois Pork Producers, and he tells us what pork producers can expect.
Well, Randy, the roundtable is basically a chance for us to meet with producers and let them voice their concerns or talk to us about current issues in the industry. And we're also looking for ideas or anything that needs to be made up into like the a form of a suggestion that should go to the annual meeting in February.
Have you had these before?
Yep, we have them every year.
And do you have them at the same place?
I do. Each district has their own, so it's up to the district director to plan it, to find a location, and to set that up. I've had mine there at the Grand Magnuson the last several years anyway.
And what time does it start Thursday?
I believe we let the doors open at 6 for anybody who wants to get there and visit, and then we're going to eat, I think, around 6:30. And as soon as we're done eating, then Jim Kaichek will be with me, and we'll do kind of a year-end review. Then we'll just open up for discussion.
Have the producers around here come up with any ideas or anything that you've taken to the annual meeting?
Last couple of years has been pretty quiet out of this area. There are districts usually that, you know, come up with some stuff for the annual meeting every year in District 9 here in our area. We haven't had a lot go to the annual meeting in the last couple of years, but you never know. There could be something this year.
And have these ideas that have come up been adopted by the national or the state committee at from those other areas?
Usually most of the time when we take something to the annual meeting for discussion, like a resolution, they'll be discussed at the annual meeting in an open forum. And then, you know, most of the time they're usually adopted unless for some reason it conflicts with a current policy or maybe another district has something similar and we'll combine them. But, yeah, most of the time they're taken to the annual meeting and adopted.
Are the ideas you do get at your meeting just probably pretty much just pertain to your district, correct?
Usually in kind of the pork industry in whole, I mean, we hear a lot about animal welfare and, of course, you know, uses of antibiotics, feed costs. You know, a lot of different aspects of production.
I bet most of them will come out at the state meeting anyway, won't they?
Usually, yeah. It's usually, you know, when we talk at the state level, as far as like me and the officer team and our board of directors, a lot of the stuff that we report back to our state meeting is similar that we hear across districts.
That was Derek Dunkirk of the Illinois Pork Producers Association. Those planning on attending this roundtable at the Grand Magnuson Hotel need to contact him in a day or two. His number, 820-0117. The 15-member National Pork Board will meet next week in Des Moines. Conley Nelson, president of the National Pork Board, says this is the budget meeting.
Our November's our time every year where we approve the budget for the coming year. We try to focus on domestic marketing and exporting to try to keep this revenue up on this so that we can cover our cost of production. You know, this coming year is going to be a tough year for the industry, and that's going to be really critical that we have the right dollars in that area.
Nelson says pork producers at the grassroots level have a tremendous amount of input into the budget.
We go through a process that involves a lot of producers. Staff puts together a start, and then we bring in about 50 producers from across the country, and then they kind of go through it and prioritize it, and then they prepare it for and comes to the board, and then we make the ultimate decision on how we're going to spend our checkoff dollars this coming year.
The pork checkoff budget will be finalized next week. Mr. Nelson says priorities will be on demand enhancement.
We are definitely going to be putting more dollars into promotion. We're doing a lot more with retailers, joint efforts to promote pork. Some of the food companies getting more pork on the menus. We've got some really good success stories there. And then putting more dollars into export as well.
For more information, producers can contact the Pork Checkoff Service Center. Go to www.pork.org. Last week, the United States Department of Agriculture released reports tallying the commodity crops in the United States. Todd Gleason has this review of those numbers.
Friday morning, the United States Department of Agriculture released its latest crop production and world agricultural supply and demand estimates, or WASDE, figures. University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good reviewed the numbers.
When we look at the corn situation, the USDA really kind of tweaked the numbers in this report. The production forecast went up marginally based on a slightly higher yield forecast of 122.3 bushels. USDA, surprisingly, I guess, did increase their forecast of corn use for food purposes this year slightly, increased their forecast of corn imports by 25 million bushels, and at the end of the day, increased the forecast of year-ending stocks by 28 million bushels, lowered their forecast of the marketing year average price by 20 cents a bushel. That stands now at $7.60. On the world scene, again, very modest changes, only marginal changes. People were looking at the Argentine production number to see if there would be any reflection of the extremely wet start to the planting season there, but none showed up in this report. So at the end of the day, the numbers showed a little bit larger supply than the market had been looking for, but not by much. So kind of a neutral report, I think, for corn. For soybeans, I think with the production number coming in about 111 million bushels larger than the October forecast, that's about 30 million more than the market was looking for. USDA offset much of that with increased consumption forecast, but at lower prices. They did lower the season's average farm price by 35 cents a bushel. So a larger supply, we will consume more, but at a lower price. We'll still have pretty small ending stocks, 140 million bushels. Again, on the world scene, tweaked production forecast for a couple minor producing areas, but nothing for Argentina or Brazil at this point. So the big focus for soybeans was the U.S. production number, and I think that was large enough that it added fuel to the downtrend that we've been seeing in soybean prices here in recent weeks.
That's University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good with the numbers from the United States Department of Agriculture's release of the November 9 crop production and WASDE figures. I'm Todd Gleason.
It's coming up on 6:31 on this Tuesday morning. Soon, producers will be making choices in their weed control programs for the 2013 crop year. Dow AgriSciences is offering one called Enlist. At the National Association of Farm Broadcasters meeting in Kansas City last week, we talked to Byron Hendricks, and he explains the Enlist program.
Growers today are facing challenges in weed control due to an increase in glyphosate-resistant weeds as well as hard-to-control weeds, some that were impacted from the drought of 2012, for example, very hard to control, like a lamb's quarters, for example. But the Enlist weed control system offers a solution to growers that will improve the glyphosate tolerant system. And what it includes is new herbicide tolerant traits and a new herbicide solution. The herbicide tolerant traits are going to be for corn and soybeans and cotton. And the herbicide solution is going to be Enlist Duo Herbicide, which features a technology package called Colex D technology.
Will this work in weather conditions like we had this past growing season, or if and when it gets wetter?
Very tough for herbicides to work really well in the dry conditions we had, especially glyphosate, but there are products out there that help in a drought situation to help control weeds. But Enlist Dual Herbicide is going to be that combination of 2,4-D choline, it's a brand new 2,4-D, plus glyphosate. So the two modes of action working on that weed will certainly help even in situations we had like this summer.
When will it be available?
So 2013, pending regulatory approval, corn will be out. So we'll be able to see corn in Illinois, other parts of the country in the Midwest as well. 2015 for soybeans, and then cotton will follow that in 2016.
How will this be applied?
Application is the interesting part of this technology, I think, because the Colex D technology in Enlist Duo provides the grower some really good benefits. And some of those benefits are reduced volatility or near zero volatility of the herbicide, 2,4-D, as well as the reduced physical drift component, some better handling characteristics of 2,4-D, as well as lower odor. So those are some very key benefits along with the actual herbicide itself killing those hard-to-control weeds with dual modes of action.
And that was Byron Hendricks of Dow AgriSciences talking to us at the National Association of Farm Broadcasters meeting in Kansas City last week. In some other notes in the news, with short feed supplies from the drought, livestock producers are turning to alternative forms of feed for cattle, including potatoes. The Wisconsin potato crop was not significantly impacted by the drought because the lack of rainfall did not really affect the crop, since most potato growers have their crops under irrigation pivots. The dry weather even helped control pests and disease. In fact, this year's United States potato crop is expected to be the largest in many years. University of Wisconsin Extension agent Ken Schroeder says there will be some culling of potatoes, and those culled potatoes have as much crude protein as shelled corn on a dry matter basis, which runs between 15% and 20%. That means it does take between 400 and 500 pounds of potatoes to equal 100 pounds of grain on an energy basis. The majority of people in California voted against Proposition 37 regarding the labeling of genetically modified food on Tuesday, but advocates for labeling have promised their fight is not over. Most of this optimism from advocates comes from the fact that their ballot measure received 4.3 million votes. Now they are collecting signatures to put a similar measure on the ballot in Washington State for 2013. Food Democracy Now! Executive Director Dave Murphy says his group believes this is a dynamic moment for the food movement, and they are moving forward. The battle in California did have implications for the nation because it could have led to a reduction in the use of genetically modified crops, which accounts for more than 80% of the corn, soybeans, and sugar beets grown in the United States. Clayton Carley of rural Milford was named the 2012 American Star Farmer by the National FFA. It is the FFA's highest award. Clayton is the first national winner from Illinois, and he is from rural Milford. Once again, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, December corn right now trading at 863.5, up 5.75. March wheat trading at 870.5, up 6. December corn now trading at 725, up 7. March corn trading at 729, up 6.75. November soybeans now trading at 1428.5, up 9.5. January beans 1412.75, up 7.75. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn, and by Envirofoam of America.